Hello and welcome to the Body and Food Freedom Podcast. I'm Vanessa Preston, a therapist supporting people through trauma, eating disorders, and body image distress. On this podcast, we talk all things mental health, body image, creating peace with food, and two of my favorite things, compassion and curiosity. If you'd like to connect with me more, check out my website, vanessa-preston.com, or for women, you can join my private Facebook group. There's an invitation waiting for you in the show notes. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Body and Food Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Preston. I'm here with my bestie and co-host Reva Segment. We're really happy to chat with you today about today's topic. How have you been, Reva?
I've been doing pretty good. I'm still on the up and up from some health issues and feeling encouraged by that still. So that's been good. I feel like as spring has been coming in, I've been like messing with my plants and getting ready to be outdoors more. So that's been fun. Nothing too special going on though. How about you?
Yeah, I know we've talked about this even on the podcast before, but it's so funny because we're like opposite seasons, of course. So our time changed. It's darker early. I actually love this time of the year. It's like, it feels kind of fall and cool. And so we're headed into that. But I've been okay, kind of uneventful as well. I know we just chatted about this before we hit record, but the technology challenges have been real this week. Like, I don't know what's happening in around me, but it feels like any tech stuff this week just fails. And I was saying to you, I'll get Ray to come like help me with it, and as soon as he's just standing there, it fixes without him doing it each day. And then I look
worse.
Then I look crazy. But
that happens when there's a witness. It never, like, anything that's going wrong. Like, I had a dishwasher issue and my maintenance guy was like, there's nothing wrong right now. And I'm like, I swear to you, it flooded my kitchen 3 times.
Yes. Like, and then like when you don't have the language to describe it either, where, or if it's something wrong with your car, you're like, I don't know, it's just this like little doohickey that's making this sound. I just need you to fix it. And then they're coming back with, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
And that sounds boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, technology has been in a fritz for witchy metaphysical communities. They're all talking about the retrogrades. You know, the Mercury retrogrades that they talk about.
I always know it's something going on with Mercury.
Mercury, it's always fucking everything up. But whenever things are going awry, it's kind of memes at this point, but you're telling me about tech stuff, and I'm like, all the people that are tuned into that are telling you that there's 2 more weeks of Mercury retrograde and that technology is going to fail.
Well, that's kind of funny. Because that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you for the daily news. Hopefully we make it through this.
Yes. So, Reva, today I feel like this will probably end up being a total 2-part episode. And I think there's so much we could say about this topic. And the topic today being body grief.
Yes.
Yes. And I feel like
we're talking about this.
Yeah. And I feel like I really see this impact everybody. Like, I don't think it's like, I think it's almost just part of the kind of human experience in one way or the other. But so today, what we'll do is we'll kind of
give a definition, which we often like to start with that and kind of talk through it and also explain where body grief can show up. And then really talk about what are some ways to help you kind of compassionately respond to that body grief in your own life. So the like short and sweet definition is body grief sums up the distress related to loss associated with your body. And I've printed out this this definition, and I'll just kind of read what it says. It's author Jane Mattingly, who first coined the term, and she defines body grief as the universal experience of disillusionment, sorrow, and loss that comes with simply existing in a body. Body grief basically sums up all the anger, the loss, the frustration, the sorrow, and the general sense of mourning that so many women feel from the loss of their former body and the former self it represents. And so what do you kind of like think or feel, Reba, when I like read that?
I think what you said before you started reading the definition, that everybody can relate, and it's something that everyone does go through, because no matter what, we are always changing. And I mean, I'm just going to venture to say that more times than not, we're not changing in like gentle, lovely ways.
It's like a Mack truck rolls through and we're like, hello.
I mean, basically. Yeah. So like, whether it's like a injury or, you know, a gradual, you know, health issue that ends up being chronic, or any kind of accident that can happen to your body, or something as old as time as just getting old and wrinkly and like seeing your body differently.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah. How I feel about it.
Yeah. I think when you said like the word change, I do think there can be this misconception with grief that it really surfaces around death and kind of only death. And it has these, you know, stages of grief that people tend to be somewhat familiar with, and that's what it looks like. Whereas I think when you said the word change, I think it's really natural for some grief to surface throughout our lives related to change, because when there's a change, even if we're choosing it,
yeah,
there still can be a loss before we move into that kind of change. And so, yeah, this is from the Grief Project. That's like the Instagram handle. And they put that grief is not an emotion. In fact, it is the emotional, physical, and spiritual response to a loss. And I really liked that, because I think it is this emotional, physical, spiritual kind of thing that we all go through in different parts of our lives, some level of grief. And I always find that, like, even when people come to therapy, they're not usually saying, oh, Vanessa, I need support with grief. They're not usually saying that unless it's a death and it's kind of more, do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of more clear. But if it's related to some of what you started to talk about, of chronic illness or injury or trauma or a change we've experienced with our bodies, people aren't using that language. They will more say things like, I feel angry, or I feel sad, or I feel frustrated or irritable or agitated. And so to me, it's like all these emotions can sit under that grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like and that you taught me a long time ago and has been so helpful to me in my life with all kinds of grief and talking to my clients about all kinds of grief.
Yeah.
When I'm, you know, doing hair, is that anger is the bodyguard of sadness. And there's so many ways that you can interpret that, but everything that you were describing, like all the other things that you feel before you allow yourself to feel sad or grief, it almost it like so hard to identify when you are actually in the midst of it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I was thinking about on the lead up to this conversation is the number of women that I hear say, I feel fat. I'm having a fat day. And I'm always so curious with that expression. And I always encourage people to think through and look, what else might you actually be feeling? And to be honest, so often the translation to me is I feel body grief and I have no idea what to do with it. And so it gets expressed as this, like, I feel fat, this, like you, like this anger. And so, yeah, what you said of like, and hopefully this episode helps clarify this for people, but like learning to kind of identify when it's actually grief, because then we can take steps to actually support ourselves in the grieving rather than what I see, where people will be sitting with that, not realize it, go down that road of kind of anger and agitation and usually take it out on their body. And so sometimes it's like, well, I'll just create a new diet plan, or I'll skip, I just won't eat lunch, or I'll go back to this like punitive exercise, or, you know, it's this like urgency that can be there to quote fix it. And it makes me so sad because people have like, people are trying to like fix their body in some way when really it's, we need to make space for the grief. And it can feel so uncomfortable.
Physically, literally uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think also, like, I feel like it's important to say that what you, like, what I'm translating that to in my head is when we are trying to fix, we are distracting ourselves and we are giving ourselves busy work to avoid and also fix at the same time without, like, if we are willing to do some work around body grief, we could really reconcile and accept our bodies where they are, even if we are not 100% satisfied with them.
100%. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I think like we've both kind of got notes in front of us, and I think I might just like read some common places where this body grief can show up for people. So one is disability, trauma, and really chronic stress, chronic pain and chronic health challenges as well. Even I think if you're dealing with kind of more like complex mental health, like all of that impacts us and the relationship with our bodies. And even I'm seeing this more and more with women of getting that like late stage diagnosis for like around autism or ADHD, and really looking through a neurodivergent lens at their experience in their bodies. And I think that can come with a lot of grief. Gaining and losing weight also, like, so that kind of change to the body and gaining weight, right? It's like, well, we live in a society that, me and you talk all the time about this, but that rewards and sees thinness as more worthy. And so it's you know, this weight gain and the grief around that makes so much sense to me. But also I've seen weight loss lead to body grief too. And I think I might actually read this. I didn't plan to, but this is from an Australian-based counselor and body image coach named Sammy Rose. And they wrote, "I spent all of my teens and all of my 20s having this number in my head and this body in my head that I thought was going to solve all my problems. So after actually losing weight and getting all the compliments from friends, you know, being told she was goals, that kind of thing, Rose explains that they were still left with the same insecurities and the same, like, this is so common, the same kind of hurtful emotions and thoughts and feelings about her body. And so she says for her, body grief meant letting go of the thin ideal and grieving the notion of what a good body meant to me. And so it's the body grief can show up. And then I don't know if you, what your thoughts are on this, but you mentioned earlier, like, aging. I think like aging can tap into this like deeper existential grief. And how many times have we all kind of had these moments where we look in the mirror and it's like, hold up. That's the physical body, but like, I still feel 20 something. And I think it's this like existential grief of like, oh, like our bodies can be this like physical reminder that time has passed. But basically any change that feels a sense of loss, something else I've witnessed is like loss of accessibility. So, you know, I've had clients kind of, you know, not be able to access certain physical spaces or like certain brands anymore. And so I think they're that grieving can come up too of we're in this culture and society where accessibility for all body sizes is not there.
That would, it always kind of, I mean, it doesn't like make me mad that there's not accessibility to, I don't know, growing out of, I think my example would be like the teen section at Target. Like that's, I mean, this is even years old for me to have this kind of epiphany, but like realizing maybe in my late 20s that those clothes don't fit me correctly, or jeans that used to fit me right don't fit me that way anymore. And that is, I don't know that I'm experiencing body grief with that, but it is like a very in-your-face example of just growing out of the sizes of where you could have shopped at the mall 10 years prior. It's not as easy to shop for your body as you age for lots of reasons.
Yeah. And I, yeah, absolutely. And I think like even the body grief that can come up around big life changes and the way it impacts your body. And so like having babies, you know, that's
a big one.
Yeah. And we've just been bombarded with this belief that, you know, you're supposed to quote bounce back and look exactly like you did pre-baby. And yeah. And the tricky thing is I think sometimes, even when you said the teenage kind of section at Target, I think sometimes we can misplace the grief even. So like this scapegoating can happen where we kind of blame our bodies for changing, whereas really what we're potentially sitting with is this kind of existential grief that stage in my life is done. And this is where I'm at. And that can be really hard to, that can be hard and scary to kind of accept.
we see the ramifications of that in all of our social media today, of everybody trying to stay young and be young and, you know, nip this and tuck that. And, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, we see everyone fighting it with their teeth showing, you know?
Like, yes, like fiercely fighting it.
Yeah, because I think it's easier, like going back to staying preoccupied. I mean, how many influencers do we see that's just like anti-aging this and weight loss this, and, you know, just anything you can get your hands on to try to go back to what you were before.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've seen this, but I think I've seen it more because my daughter's kind of that early 20 stage. And there's this, and I'm not hating on anybody who wants to do whatever they need to do to their body. I'm just not even trying to judge that at all. But there's this, and I'm even seeing it with clients around that age group more too, of like early teens feeling like they need to have a 47-step skincare routine and like start Botox when they're like 18, and it's all about preventing da 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 da. And it's this, that seems to be even there more than like when me and you were growing up, of yeah. And it's, I'm always curious, like, what's the end game, I guess? Like, what are we running from, I guess?
And how profound is it that they, okay, so let's say we didn't have access to those corrective things at that age.
Yeah.
So we were doing all the ugly things, trying to look cute and pretty, like, right every time.
Yeah.
And so now younger people have the option of Botoxing it, you know, just tons of little procedures and things before we ever even considered being afraid of our wrinkles or our brow lines or our wrinkle, you know, like our lines on our forehead. Like, I don't know that I really, do you think that you thought about your wrinkles in your early 20s? Like,
no, and that's what I'm saying is like,
yeah, it's so stark, like how you can correct. So for them to be thinking about it that much earlier is kind of alarming. And what does it mean for the future as far as image goes? I don't know.
Yeah. And that's what I think about too, is like, I had someone ask me the other day, like, do you think the body image stuff is getting better? And I'm like, I don't know, call me a pessimistic. I think I'm a realist. I don't think it's getting better. I think like stuff like that and the role that social media plays, I know there's different movements that are trying to make, you know, progress in this area, but I just still think there's such a long way to go. But
I'm tempted to even call it a liberation that
yeah,
like, can we use big adjectives? And
girl, yeah.
Part of the reason I do this with you is because I think women need to be liberated, like in a very real way that is very deep rooted, that you can't, like, I just say a lot, like, you can have freedom from these really intense, very real feelings of body grief and body image issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I think body liberation is the goal. And, you know, I think I might, yeah, like, even there's people doing amazing work in body liberation. I think Sonia Renee Taylor is one, and she's the one that wrote Your Body's Not an Apology. But what I think is, even to get like to more of this internal body liberation place and then this like more collective body liberation place, I don't think we can bypass the body grief. I think that's the tricky part, is like, to get to body acceptance, we've got to go through the grieving. And like I said, it's tricky because we can feel like we've process the body grief, and then a change happens or this next developmental stage happens. But I think we can get better at like recognizing it and not leading us into this urgent punitive action or, you know, responding to it differently.
Yeah.
But I think you can share whatever you're kind of comfortable sharing, but from like a lived experience, personal place, where have you noticed body grief come up in your own kind of body image story?
I think that there are so many examples that I don't want to be evasive, like for the sake of like being secretive, but I've had quite a few injuries and a couple of illnesses that have been pretty life altering. And I think sitting with excruciating pain that you don't know if and when it will end, it's so depressing that it goes into grief, and trying to correct it while you're having deep feelings of grief about where you're like, where I was feeling like, oh, I used to be a runner. Like I used to run. And after my back injury in high school, I found out very quickly that I couldn't run anymore. And in fact, like I couldn't sit in a desk for 6 to 8 hours. And it was so painful that I would just be in tears in class. And that I had just gotten, I guess this is what I'll say as far as like a young example, is I had just gotten out of really disordered eating and found like a healthy balance between food and exercise. Like I got a membership to the Y and I had really started running the track and doing all these different things and lifting and bench pressing and doing things that felt really good. And then it was a compressed disc in my back that is now degenerative. And so it's almost like I couldn't do any of the things that I was doing before, and I'm still dealing with it today.
Yeah.
And so that's some long grief and always trying to, and it's exhausting trying to figure out, well, what can my body do and what will it be able to do? And so I think part of my grief is also the not knowing.
Yeah.
And does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And it's like a uncertainty that can sit there of like, in terms of functioning, like, where is my capacity? And that also changes.
Yeah. It changed my autonomy.
Yeah.
And my, like, what I was capable of. So I had to have more realistic expectations that now I'm embracing in a different way and learning different ways to be active and be embodied.
Yeah.
That's way diverse than what was rigid and stupid back then, actually. Like, actually there is some liberation with, like,
yeah.
I was dealing with all of these outside sources telling me what I was supposed to be and feeling like there's no way I'm going to be able to be that now.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it's coming up, I think understanding that it's an outside source of a list of things that you're supposed to be, and just knowing that you can crumble up that list and like throw it out.
Yeah. And it's like there's that grieving towards acceptance and then towards liberation of like, mm-hmm. when you said that grieving, the impact that that had on your body and grieving the loss of these different exercises that were happening at that time. But like you said, moving to, liberation, like you said, like throwing away the paper of all these demands that's been projected on you and your body. And kind of making your own list and really letting that be this like compassionate response to where your body is right now. And I think like something I'll point out, I don't know if you're feeling this, but often we'll talk about this more too towards the end with some ideas of responding to this. But like when you were describing that, because you're my bestie and I'm with you, I do think that the body grief can show up in certain like body sensations. And I'm not saying everybody's the same, but even when you were describing that, it's like, I know so well how this grief shows up in my body, and it is throat. So, and I see this, there is this pattern in the therapeutic space too, where when people share stories like you just shared, and then I get them to kind of, when they're still processing, I get them to kind of check in what they're noticing. There is this, often this like lump in the throat, tightness in the chest or heaviness in the chest. And sometimes it moves into the stomach where it can feel like kind of anxiety in the stomach. And the reason I point that out is because we can get stuck thinking that this is a different issue. Like we were talking about where it's like my body needs fixed. I've got to like hustle and do something. Whereas those body signals are your body's kind of own wisdom and messages that's potentially how that body grief can reveal itself.
That makes a lot of sense. So almost like not befriending, but acknowledging all of the body feelings as like it's a separate thing that's connected to the body grief. So it's kind of like an indicator. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like one of the things that I recommend around this for people is with just this real curiosity. What am I noticing in my body right now? And that can take people a different, like, that looks different for everybody, depending on their life experience, et cetera, and that capacity to tune in. But yeah, sometimes just that curiosity of, okay, as you were sharing that body grief story, it's what sensations are there?
That definitely felt just like literally as I told it, like definitely tightness in my throat and chest, and then tightness through my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I told it, I can kind of recognize that.
Yeah. I think like you, I feel like when we were preparing for this, there's so many different points of body grief that I could share. And I think me and you really kind of are massive supports to each other around this like chronic pain or chronic health experience. And I've definitely kind of experienced that. And I think two other things came to my mind outside of that, like health experience. And I can't remember if I've shared this in any like space like this, like a podcast episode. I've certainly shared it kind of in different group settings. But for me, I had my daughter so young. And my body so quickly went from like an adolescent girl to like post baby woman so quickly. And I think I hadn't expected that. No one told me that. I had been watching all the celebrities and magazines and things who like all of a sudden just had a six pack again. And I think I had to go on this whole kind of healing, and there was so much grief to it around my stomach. And for so many years, it was like, well, I need to fix this in some way. And what I started to kind of like really recognize is that changing part of my body kind of represented this loss of a developmental stage for me. And, you know, I freaking adore my daughter and I wouldn't change anything now. But this kind of loss of that developmental stage, really, that's what needed to be grieved. Whereas for so many years, I spent blaming my body and that my stomach looked the way it did.
Yeah.
And yeah, whereas really that healing work of, okay, my 16-year-old self, what did she need that she didn't get? And how do I kind of respond to that teenage me in a different way? And one of the things that I started to like, that came out of that was this, like the statement that was, I love my inner teenager and the wisdom she brings. And so it just, that's kind of one example where it makes me so sad because I think we can stay in the surface again of, well, my stomach changed, that's the problem. And all kinds of body hate, judgment, etc. Whereas that curiosity and kind of going, actually, there's some grief here that we need to kind of move through. That's probably one of the biggest examples outside of like chronic kind of pain and health stuff. And the other thing that, yeah, were you gonna say something?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, it's very brave to tell that story, not only just being vulnerable about how your body changed, but recognizing the deeper part of that of having, like, basically your stomach became symbolic of having to grow up right then.
Yes.
And a loss of childhood.
Yes.
A loss of adolescence. Just instant maturity. Instantly, you need to do the right thing. And you did it. And I just want to acknowledge that, like, even though that's really hard, this is one of those things that you can look back on and say, like, I've done a lot of work around that. And I recognize my grief. And it's not going to, like, be my burden anymore. You're allowed to do that.
Yes.
And women are allowed to do that. You're allowed to go, oh my gosh, I have hated this part of my body so much, but it really meant this. And I don't have to feel that way anymore. And I would like to not feel that way anymore.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of women know they have the option to literally opt out of this body hate.
Yeah.
And get busy doing something else. Or, you know, like, enrich your life another way. Choose that energy. Anyway, go ahead.
I think, like, a therapist years ago said to me, what would the unloved part of your stomach say? And I was like, I always remember that because it would probably say, like, how sad it was that it felt so kind of judged and criticized. And that it was just trying its best and that it brought life into this world. Like,
yeah. And it doesn't need to be apologized for.
Yeah. And so it is like, and we've said this a few times, but the more we talk, it is this grieving towards this, like, these layers of acceptance, and towards liberating, which is, yeah, actually, I can learn to kind of think differently and respond to my body differently, even if it's not doing what I want it to, or even if it doesn't look the way I want it to. One of the things, like, this is a quote from, she's a dietitian in the intuitive eating space, Rachel Hartley. But her, like, quote was, accepting your body doesn't necessarily mean liking your body. It's acknowledging that your body is what it is. Acceptance creates space for you to stop fighting the reality of your body and figure out a way forward in feeding and caring for it instead of harming it or punishing it. It can feel scary to try to let go of body hate, but remember, your body takes a lot of hits when you're beating it up. And I think I kind of go to, okay, so learning to accept your body, regardless of what it looks like, takes this grieving process me and you are kind of talking about.
Yeah.
The other story that I might share is my mom came to visit and I hadn't seen her for like since 2019. And my mom went through two episodes of breast cancer. And for her, that resulted in a double mastectomy. And I think I noticed this like grief for like generations before us and what the legacy has been. That's like the legacy of what's passed down in terms of body image. And because she is not modest, but she had jumped out of the shower. She was sitting there chatting with me and she was and I say this with zero freaking judgment, but she was kind of like saying a few critical things about her body. And we've all been there. We're like totally, it's just normal at this point, I think, sadly. But anyway, so she's kind of like saying these little critical things about her body. And I really did have this grief of really seeing her as like also experiencing so much like of the cultural messages that our bodies are bad. And all I could see was because you know my mom, she is like very hardworking. She is just very sweet and playful and she's just really tried her best. And when I was looking at her, I'm like, that's what I see. And I see the survivor, like you survive two breast cancers. And it just kind of was like, it was grief that I'm like, here is this like strong, resilient survivor woman. And she is still like, she's picking apart her body. And not seeing what I saw, which was that she was just so beautiful, like beyond physical appearance too.
Yeah. I did grow up with Vicky. Is it okay that I said her name?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And she was just tough as nails, but also the kindest, sweetest, like you were saying, like she is so many beautiful things. I haven't seen her probably 4 years since last time you were here.
Yeah.
But even then she was the same. As, you know, everybody changes, but she was essentially the same as she ever was. And I would just call her like a really strong woman and totally be able to recognize that she has all those. She has the same body image problems that we do and the way she sees herself the same way that you see yourself, the same way that I see myself with every flaw. And we all see each other with so much more like grace and admiration and appreciation sometimes physical beauty, but a lot of times everything outside of that. And to spend her days like judgingly harshing herself harshly judging herself kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
Just like it makes me sad that you do or I do or that my best friends who work words do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is like, I think part of the path towards acceptance and that internal like liberation and then the collective is like kind of, I suppose, learning to see ourselves in that way of where have you survived? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What has your body helped you do and get through? And yeah, and I think like if we were talking about, well, what are some things people can do to like work through this body grief. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I don't know where you, like, I don't know what your advice would be, or for me, I think anything creative, anything outside of being into your body image, like being into your image at all, like figuring out what kind of skills you have outside of it, or hobbies or interests. I think I don't want to sound judgmental towards people, including myself, but there's an obsession with self. And it's inherited and fostered by our society. So it's almost rebellious to not care as much about your image and to be into what you're into. Does that make sense? Like, to actually explore who you are if you like didn't have a body.
Oh my gosh, it makes total sense. And it's like this. I think so much of the body image struggles can be this like self-absorbed obsession. And like you said, that does not come with judgment, but that is what's happening. So this idea of like getting outside of yourself is huge.
Or even surrounding yourself with things that make you feel pretty, or like my house is full of plants because they're gorgeous and I wish they would all just grow around me until
until you're in a forest.
I think that you can have like enchanting parts of your life that are beautiful, that enhance what you are. Even like the idea of like having a mindful space around you, like clean, tidy, blah, blah, blah. Like having beauty around you, like reflects your own beauty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether that is or plants or your favorite. I don't know. Whatever it is that you just have that, like, don't be afraid to kind of decorate your life to bring yourself joy visually, even.
Which is really like a form of creativity. It's like fostering this creativity in your environment. And so like using creativity to almost like express and move through grief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That has been something that I have done through a lot of grief, is like I have made sure my surroundings are pretty. If it gets messy or whatever, I'll clean it up. But like, I want things to be a little bit vibrant. I want things to be like things that bring me peace and joy around me. And that does help. It really does help when you are feeling down, and whatever grief you're dealing with, like to have things the way you want them that bring you joy is important.
Yeah. And it's also something that came to my mind, is I think if we're in this body grief space and body image distress, we can withhold certain experiences until our body reaches this like fantasy ideal. And to me, it's liberating yourself from that actually what you just said, these creative outlets, or like having cute little plants around you, or color, like really fostering an environment that supports you, to me is like getting rid of that idea. Like you deserve that in your now body, chronic pain or health.
Wow. Yes. Understanding what you deserve, even if you don't look the way you want to look or the way society wants you to look, is very important.
Yeah.
Because if you feel devalued, it's easy to devalue yourself and not give yourself things based on your appearance, even.
Yeah. Yes. And I think like therapy can be helpful, finding community. So if it is friends or friendships, or even like online communities where you do connect with other women in a safe way, I think community can be really helpful. I don't know if you did much of this, but like journaling or writing for a lot of people can be this helpful outlet. But I think if we, you know how I said, getting curious of how you, the body grief shows up for you, whether it's body sensations or a, like it could be sometimes this sadness for these previous versions of you, that child you or that teenage you. And so really that curiosity of, well, how does your body grief tend to show up? And the next step, and I think it can move people onto what you just said too, but the next step I really believe is responding compassionately and sitting with it. It is not like we do, I get that we have to function and like live life and go to work, and but you do need some space where you are not pushing away, suppressing, avoiding. You need some space or support to do that. That's what I mean. Sit with it, actually feeling the feeling. And the metaphor that I think of is I always think, okay, so sometimes it can be this grief is like in the passenger seat with me. She has done up her seatbelt and she is coming with me. And it's I can look beside me at this body grief that really is longing to be seen and heard and acknowledged, right? I can look at it and I can be like, go away. You're so dramatic. You should be over this. What's wrong with you? Can you just toughen up? And I can respond that way, or I can respond like I would to a friend who was hurting of, I know you're here. I see you, right? Like, I know you're hurting. I know you're worried or sad. I see you, right? I was going to say simple, but it's not always simple. But it's that like compassionate acknowledgement that, okay, grief is here. And you might not have time to like bust out a painting or journaling or like, but just that kind of response to it changes can create massive change.
To be very gentle with yourself and or your past self that you're recognizing where those feelings are coming up and saying, like, that is so valid, girl. Like, that really did suck. And that really does suck. And I think before moving on, I just want to say, like, it's, you know, journaling's on the list of writing's on the list of things that we can do. But I think it's so intimidating to be in front of paper.
My gosh.
Like, oh my God, what do I actually say to myself when like the possibilities are infinite of everything I write on this page? But I think for me, writing is something I do a lot. And, one thing that I would like to say is just to be so honest that it feels like if somebody was over your shoulder reading it, that like you would be mortified, but do it when you're safe. Be by yourself. And to know that like, A, if you're writing it in your phone notes or on a laptop, you can delete it. If it's on a piece of paper and it's so mortifying, you can literally burn it. It might be healing to burn it after you write it. You might say, I'm going to write 5 sentences to myself about how much I do hate my body. And letting yourself be that honest.
Yeah.
Like, just like I accept whatever I am about to write. I have written some crazy things that I look back and I'm like, oh, she said that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just be honest with yourself. Like, there is so much freedom in the honesty that comes with being able to delete it or burn it afterwards. Even if you never do more of those things, like knowing that you do not have to be with what is ever like cringy and mortifying on the page, but you got it out.
Yes. It's like you've allowed an honest release and you don't necessarily have to jump to quote fix it or analyze it.
And you sure don't have to post it on social media.
No, honey. The other thing that I will say about this is if you kind of start tuning in and noticing body grief, be extremely cautious if you jump into any urgency. Urgency to me is this red flag, because and urgency to like fix it and get rid of the feeling, that is a whole big carnival of red flags with a marching band behind it, honey, because because I see that the feelings that are there and someone taking this like urgent action to quote fix, again, that is where I can see pretty punitive exercise, punitive food behaviors, like a plan. And I just would encourage people to really slow down if you notice that and if you do have access to it, getting extra support if some of what we've talked about has resonated, of like somebody to actually support you to work through some of the body grief.
Yeah. So I think you're saying like don't follow what is reactive, like don't follow your first thought, don't follow your first plan. And I think that that's so wise to say, because like we said at the beginning, it's fix, fix, fix. What can I do? Blah, 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 blah. The sitting is the hard part. The sitting with is the hard part. And it's so necessary. That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the grief needs to be set with, witnessed and seen and heard. I think that's what we all want, like that feeling of like, am I seen, am I heard, am I understood? The grief wants and needs that, and you know that can come in little baby steps and gradual over time. But yes, like you said, reactivity or urgency, be really, really careful with. I think I was gonna say something, but I forgot. What were you going to say?
I was going to say also with that idea of being reactive versus not, is the, like, I mean, this is so cliche, but it is what it is. Rome wasn't built in a day. It's like no natural healing happens in a day. Healing is a slow, slow process.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about medicine and, you know, like modern technology. We're talking about real soul healing and things that need, nothing heals quickly. And it takes attention and it takes compassion and labor and being present with these feelings to get through them.
Yeah.
And acknowledge them so that we can get through them. If we are a society that does not acknowledge anything, especially grief. We are going to live until we die, but don't talk about the dying part.
Yeah.
And there isn't a lot of space in our society for that grief, and definitely not for that healing. Yeah. It does take shedding out a lot of what the world says and just listening to your internal process over a long period of time. And that can go back scientifically, your nervous system healing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think something that came up when you said that is something I really struggled with since I've started like the body food work, full stop, the groups, the podcasts, et cetera, is there's this like marketing to it and like creating the website or the copy, which is like, what do you write on your website? And it's this that I struggle with, because in the marketing space, even around body image, it will be like, do my 12 week group and I'll take you from, you know, body hate to body acceptance, or I'll take you from self-criticism to self-compassion. And it's like, I still struggle with like, well, I can help you compassionately move towards, but it's like, damn, in 12 weeks, I don't know. I know.
It's fast paced.
It's fast paced. Yes. It's like what you were just saying. It's like this And grief is not linear. It's not fast paced. It's not 1, 2, 3. Check item 1 through 3 on your list and you're good to go. And we do struggle with that collectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've loved talking to you this episode. I feel like
it was a little different than what I thought it would be, but great. I would like to read a tiny poem.
Oh my gosh, yes. Take us listeners come back for next episode. And I'm going to let this be the last thing where you can take us out with a poem. But before you do that, I'm just putting a little bit of a request out to people who kind of routinely and regularly listen to this podcast is, could you please share this with a friend, or could you please share it with a link on your social media? I would really like for this to get out. It is a free resource for women who need it. So please share on your socials or with a friend. And with that said, Reba, I'd love to hear your poem.
Oh, it's not mine. It's somebody else's.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So if I'm closing it out, I just want to say that I think that we can discuss more about this topic if it is something that the listeners want to talk about. If there are questions or things that we did not touch on, because it's like brief, you know, just talking about body grief for the first time, but it is a heavier topic and it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so I do want, so as the listener, if you do have people that struggle with this, which I feel like we all do,
yeah,
are my moms or are, you know, you could be in a sorority with 10 girls who you sit with day in and day out, who always complain about there's just all kinds of people.
Yeah.
But so this is a woman who is, so the poem, she is somebody I have followed on Instagram for a long time. And in the past, she's given me permission to share her poetry, but I didn't necessarily ask her about this one. But I would say that she is one of the most powerful women I've ever met when it comes to using her words. And every bit of what she writes is relatable to women and things that we go through and experience. But this one was too good. I almost saved it for the aging episode, but it's so relevant to today and kind of what we talked about with your mom and all that. So anyway, it's called Rebel, and her name is Danielle Coffin, and it's Coffyn. Okay, so it's called Rebel. Each day I am bombarded by a barrage of suggestions for how to embalm my youth, to reverse gravity, to return to a body I was told to hate the moment I hit puberty. Diets, creams, tools, surgeries, laxatives, makeup. Anything to make myself more palatable, more pleasing. But I prefer to age, to showcase lightning strike scars along blossoming hips, to welcome silvery wisdom to unkempt hair, to chart my joys and sorrows along wrinkled eyes, to allow my body to become a map of a life well lived. And that's Danielle Coffin. And the poem's called Rebel.
Excellent.
And I love you. It's so good. Everything she writes really resonates. So I'll probably have more of her in the future.
Yeah.
But glad that you liked it. I didn't share it with you beforehand. I hope everybody has a good week or two.
Yes. And we'll see you all in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode. If you found this helpful, please leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. That helps get this message out to the people who need it. If you'd like to connect with me more, check out my website at vanessa-preston.com. Until next time, please be kind to yourself.